Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our fifth and final biblical emphasis that we'll consider together this year during these Lenten midweek services is one that I'll call the piety of the cross. Now, it's an emphasis that's found throughout the Scriptures from beginning to end, although the term cross, for obvious reasons, doesn't come up until the New Testament. But the concept is there throughout the Scripture. It's also another somewhat unique emphasis of the Lutheran Church, although certainly not exclusively, since it's really found throughout the Bible. But Luther, I think, coined the term or the phrase, the theology of the cross, comparing it with what he called the theology of glory. We're going to talk about this bearing of the cross in terms of piety tonight instead of theology. And piety is another word that's found throughout our Lutheran confessions and our Lutheran writings. And in the Bible too, although it's not always translated piety. What is piety? Piety is sometimes translated godliness or devoutness, religious devotion. Piety is to acknowledge that man owes devotion and reverence to God, fulfilling one's duties specifically to God. What we would call the first table of the law really involves piety, the first three commandments. The opposite of piety is impiety, or wickedness, as it's usually translated in the Scriptures into English, or godlessness, or ungodliness. The word ungodly, found in the Scriptures quite often, is another word for impious. The ungodly behave as if they didn't owe anything to God. They are irreligious. Now, even the pagans, the Greeks, the ancient Greeks and the Romans, understood piety relatively well. It's part of the law that God has written into the hearts of all men by nature. And it shows up in many of those ancient mythologies, like the Aeneid and others, constantly talking about the hero of the story being careful to show piety, remembering to offer sacrifices to the gods, prayers at the right time, acknowledging the hand of the gods in one's life, to give the gods the proper credit for the good that has happened, to appease the wrath of the gods for the bad. Again, offering the right prayers for the things that you want, doing what the gods told you to do, regardless of the consequences for you. That was understood as piety. Now, of course, the pagans directed their devotion to the wrong gods, which doesn't do any good. Because they didn't know the true God, they made up their own duties that they thought they owed to the gods. They made up their own sacrifices. And they wrongly thought that if they behaved piously enough, they would gain the favor of the gods. Now, as Christians, we know who the true God is. And we understand that it's not a person's piety, his dutifulness toward God, that earns God's favor or that makes up for our sins. Totally, totally different in Christianity. The gospel teaches that we are guilty of original sin. We carry it with us all the time. So we could never do enough to make up for anything. We've learned that over the course of these weeks of Lent. And we've been reminded again that we're justified by faith alone in Christ, not by being pious enough and godly enough. Faith alone in Christ Jesus justifies us. But for believers, piety is still important as it is to obey all the commandments of God. A sense of devotion toward God and the focus on devotion toward God, toward fulfilling the first table of the law, is important. Regular prayer is part of that. Honoring the name of God and the reputation of God, first in your heart, but also in your dealings with the world. Taking time to read and study God's Word, which we all have access to in our homes, and then to hear the preaching of it, and to devoutly observe the sacraments which Christ has given us to observe. It's part of piety. Piety flows from faith in Christ. We live to imitate Jesus, our Savior. Look at the examples in the Scripture of Jesus' devotion to His Father. From 12 years old in the temple to all the time He set aside for prayer during His ministry, and for living with the sole purpose of accomplishing the work of His Father that He had given Him to do. That was Jesus. Well, now we come to what I'm calling the special piety of the cross. Jesus teaches us what that's about too. We heard in John chapter 12 this evening, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." You know what the glorifying of God's name, the glorifying of the Son of Man looked like. It looked like what the catechism students and I watched last night when we watched the Passion of the Christ movie. The glorification of the Son of God was the great pain and suffering, the crucifixion and death He endured. That was where He was going to be glorified and where the Father intended to glorify Him, glorified in His suffering and weakness. What I liked about that movie was that it not only showed the great pain that Jesus endured, but it also conveyed rather well Jesus' resoluteness, His willingness, His unflinching faith in His Father's goodness and purpose through it all. He didn't approach the cross ignorant of what would happen or fatalistically as in, "Oh well, it's just the way it goes." Nor did He approach the cross gladly, or at least not as we would normally use the word gladly, or easily. He approached the cross, walked right up to it, and embraced it out of pure devotion to His Father, without any complaining or bitterness for having to endure it. That's piety. And very specifically, the piety of the cross. A large part of Christian piety is to bear the cross patiently. People sometimes think they're not doing any good to the world. They get to a certain age or a certain health status where they feel like they're doing nothing. And they don't even realize that to bear suffering with patience is piety, is service toward God. To recognize God's love and faithfulness even in the midst of suffering, and sometimes to choose suffering for God's sake rather than to choose an easy path that leads away from God. No one should choose to suffer for suffering's sake, but to accept suffering patiently if it is God's will that you suffer, or to choose the cross because of God's will, because to choose a different path would be against God's word. That's what we mean by the piety of the cross. That's what we heard Jesus talk about in the second lesson tonight. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. The Christian serves God, renders devotion to God by following Jesus. And that path inevitably leads to the cross. But God's glory is there behind the suffering and the cross, behind the loss, behind the foolishness of what we preach and what we believe as Christians, even as Christ was glorified in his suffering. And God's choosing is there too in the weak things of this world, as we heard Paul tell the Corinthians in the first lesson tonight. God chooses the weak things, the things that look foolish to the rest of the world, the ignoble, the base, in order to shame the wise. So instead of being ashamed of our lowliness or suffering or foolishness in the eyes of the world, piety means accepting it, embracing it, choosing it when you have a choice between being faithful to God or being faithless, and even giving thanks for it, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The world can't understand the piety of the cross. As soon as things start to go poorly, as soon as life on earth becomes hard or painful, the world says, do whatever it takes to make the pain go away. When the world sees the Christian bearing the cross, the world taunts and says, where is your God? Well, we know where our God was. He was being whipped and beaten and spit upon and scourged. He was being tried and condemned to death. He was up there on that cross. That's what next week is all about, Holy Week, a focus on the cross. With the strength of that focus, we'll all be better equipped for that daily piety of the cross, for all the daily self-denial and the struggles that await us this side of heaven. And when people ask, where is your God? We'll be able to answer with conviction, my God was there on the cross, bearing it for me. But now he's risen from the dead and highly exalted. And where he is, there I will be also. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.